Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. These are the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Several weeks ago, we offered a pet blessing service here at the church. Laura Cardinal set up tables outside. We had certificates and pet treats, as well as water for the animals and their owners. It was a hot day. People from our congregation and many from the surrounding area brought their animals, and I laid hands on at least 40 cats and dogs, or photos, and even one stuffed animal, giving thanks for them and the joy that they provide to their humans. I also prayed for God's blessings upon them for many more years of faithful companionship that we hope they will offer to their families. Churches all over the world offer these kinds of blessings in early October near the feast day of St. Francis, who is known to have celebrated all of God's creation, the animal kingdom included. But pet blessings aren't the only kinds of blessings that we experience. Of course, we offer a blessing over food before a meal, and sometimes congregations bless backpacks like we did before school started. Sometimes churches bless toys the Sunday after Christmas. And there are house blessings. We bless first responders, and sometimes churches even have blessing of the motorcycles. It's a wonderful outreach to the community. As we focus on how blessings are life-giving, the fourth leading cause of life in our worship series, we are talking about the kinds of blessings which are given and received between individuals and from God. The authors of the book state that we are, quote, living in a web of blessing that includes those before, after, and around us. In other words, we are connected to our ancestors and those who lived life before us. We're also connected to those who follow us in life, whether they are our children, nieces, nephews, children of our friends, or students. Those connections, often spanning 3 to 4 generations, bless our lives with wisdom and compassion as we journey through life on this planet. Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen, in her book, My Grandfather's Blessings, writes, "A blessing is a moment of meeting, a certain kind of relationship in which both people involved remember and acknowledge their true nature and worth and strengthen what is whole in one another. Those individuals that we named earlier in the service and those we carry with us as saints in our lives have bestowed blessings upon us, even if it may be hard to list them sometimes. Through their acts of kindness, love, and service in Christ's church and in the community, they blessed us. Through their words, whether it was a "God bless you" or "You're such a gift to me," they remind us that we are created in the image of God, that we have inherent value. All of us have been blessed by our forebears, and we bless younger generations through our own words and actions. That is what this web of blessing is all about, and it is necessary in our lives. As the authors of The Leading Causes of Life explain, quote, "We need what we already have, a deep sense of the primal need to be a blessing for those who come behind us, and deep sense of accountability to those who have come before." We often refer to the saints as the great cloud of witnesses. My mother once told me that one of her pastors growing up shared the image of the saints who have passed on standing behind the altar during the sacrament of Holy Communion, while the living saints come to receive the sacrament in front of it. Jan Richardson reminds us that days like All Saints and All Souls are liminal spaces where we dwell in thin places that straddle both the earthly and heavenly realms. So blessings are this dual consciousness of extending, that extends both what comes before and after us, and that results in gratitude and responsibility that is life-giving and life-causing. Dr. Remen, who I mentioned a moment ago, writes about the many ways that her grandfather offered her blessings. He practiced Kabbalah, which is a form of Jewish mysticism in which humanity's work is seen as restoring the holiness of the world through our loving kindness and compassion. This is what is called Tikkun Olam. Remen's grandfather once said to her, "When we bless others, we free the goodness in them and in ourselves. When we bless life, we restore the world." What a wonderful image. Kabbalah explains this as shards of light, which exploded at the time of creation of the universe and now live in each one of us. So as we bless one another, that light bursts forth from us, shining the Creator's light upon the world. This is what the incarnation is about. God came to earth in Jesus, the light of the world. And we believe as Christians that Christ lives in each one of us. Jesus said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." The Beatitudes, our scripture for today, unpacks this even further as Jesus blesses those whom the world tends to cast aside. The Beatitudes are part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Unlike the Beatitudes that are in the Gospel of Luke, in his Sermon on the Plain, Matthew's sharing of the sermon t- takes place on a mountain. Mountains were places of importance for the Israelites because God's revelation often occurred atop of them. Jesus goes up the mountain to pray many times throughout his ministry, and when he does so, we're often reminded that Moses, too, would ascend a mountain, Mount Sinai, to speak to God and to receive God's word, particularly God's commandments. Dr. Osvaldo Vena, one of my seminary professors, says that the first century Galileans lived in an area of the Middle East where world trade and culture thrived. People of all backgrounds would pass through this area, and as a result, the Jews there were often ritually unclean because of their interactions with non-Jews. Vena says that the Pharisees and Jerusalem priests looked down upon their fellow Jews from Galilee because it was difficult for them to follow the law as closely as if they had lived somewhere else, particularly Jerusalem. Therefore, in the Beatitudes, literally translated blessings, Jesus was offering his hearers the gift of acceptance and compassion. Vena adds that Matthew's Beatitudes ascribe honor to those unable to defend their positions or those who refuse to take advantage of or trespass on the position of another. These Galilean Jews, and Jesus was from Galilee, were lifted up and honored by this itinerant rabbi rather than rejected by the religious leaders of Jerusalem who viewed them as less than. In first century Palestine, where poverty and marginalization were a reality for so many Jews, these blessings offered them hope. We can certainly relate to the need for hope. In a society where the poor are living in fear of surviving because food and nutritional support cuts have ended, or we're not sure when people will get them again, due to the government shutdown, and where many immigrants fear for their lives, people need to hear Jesus' word of blessing. They need to know that they are worthy of God's love and care. Likewise, our loved ones need to hear words of affirmation, love, and blessing from us. Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible, The Message, delivers the Beatitudes this way. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. Hearing the Beatitudes in these words brings further understanding and power to Jesus' message. We can hear them in a different way. Many of you may know that I have an emergency assistance fund here that I oversee, and it's for folks who may need help paying their utilities or their rent, or need a gift card for gas or groceries. This past week, I had a call from someone who was really struggling. She was taking care of 3 grandchildren because her daughter had become homeless. Both she and her daughter had lost their cars, and she's in need of a roof repair. She shared about her fear of what was going to happen if SNAP benefits were not reinstated, especially since the line for her area food pantry was incredibly long. It went around the whole building where it was housed. More and more food pantries are strained due to such great need. I was able to offer her some help, but I was amazed at her positive attitude and great faith. She trusted that God would provide. And as we closed our conversation, she said, "God bless you, Pastor Jenny. I wish I could have offered more to her." But she was so grateful. And she felt blessed, even in the midst of these challenging times for her and her family. I hope that you have felt God's blessings upon you through the saints of the church, whether they are family members or a Sunday school teacher, a coach, a confirmation mentor, or someone who took you under their wing when you needed support. Take some time this week to reflect upon those individuals and how they have blessed you and encouraged you. And then take those blessings and share them with others. That is how life abundant continues on through the generations. We keep sharing those blessings so that others may know God's love and care. Let us be part of this web of blessing that is our life, connecting us with those who have gone before and those who will follow after us. Amen.